This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It is Friday, the 22nd of October, 2021, 12:06 and a half here in the studio. I'm Rich Bradbury, and I'm here with...
Christine Long.
We're going to be with you for about an hour, and we're talking about LinkedIn today. You know, LinkedIn is shuttering a localized version of its professional networking platform in China, becoming the last major U.S. social media provider to pull out of the country and marking the demise of a rare U.S. tech success there. I use LinkedIn very often. Chris, I know you do as well. I use it mainly for networking and for looking at the insights of the posts and some of the articles on there. What about you?
It's funny that you say that I use it a lot, because I don't think I do, but I think I'm a social media person in general. Mm. Most of the time, though, it's just to share posts about things that I find interesting or that involves me.
Yeah. It was one of those things that it took me a while to kind of get used to originally, but I've been using it years and years and years. I had a Prime account or whatever they called for a while, and I don't use that so much as I used to do, but it's very useful for me to find potential guests, potential topics, and like you to share some of the stuff that we've done here on the show. So we want to ask you guys, you know, who are tuning in, what do you primarily use LinkedIn for and why? Let us know via Twitter. We have a poll over there. Is it mainly for networking? Is it mainly for job hunting? Is it for insights, posts and articles? Or, you know, even if you don't use it, just let us know. We're asking the same question over on Instagram as well. And if you want to take part in the topic of discussion, get us via WhatsApp like May did, who we'll be talking about shortly, 018-789-8899. Now, LinkedIn have said it made the decision in light of a, quote, significantly more challenging operating environment and greater compliance requirements in China. The company will close the current version later this year, right, Chris?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So after entering China in 2014, LinkedIn seemed to offer a model for American internet companies in the country. In exchange for being allowed to operate, the company agreed to restrict some content to adhere to state censorship rules. The service had about 52 million users on mainland China. Other US-based social media platforms such as Twitter and Facebook have, of course, long been banned. However, signs of turbulence for Microsoft emerged in March. LinkedIn said then it had paused signups for new members in China while it worked to ensure compliance with local laws. And earlier that month, China's internet regulator reprimanded LinkedIn executives for failing to control political content, according to the New York Times.
Now, in May, a prominent critic of China based in the UK said LinkedIn froze his account and removed content criticizing the country's government, the latest in a series of allegations that the networking website had censored users, even outside of the Asian nation, to appease authorities in Beijing. The greater regulatory scrutiny of LinkedIn in China echoes a broader crackdown on technology companies in the country. The government has stiffened oversight of its biggest tech firms, including Alibaba, Tencent, Didi, seeking to reduce their growing influence.
Chinese President Xi Jinping has called on officials to strengthen antitrust work to ensure fair competition, part of his broader vision of achieving quote-unquote common prosperity and leveling the inequalities that have soared in recent decades. Curbing the tech companies has been seen as a crucial element of those efforts, given the power and insight accumulated by Alibaba and Tencent, among others, in the world's largest internet sector. Mm-hmm. Even Apple, which has successfully navigated the Chinese regulatory system to produce and sell the company's devices, is facing greater pressure. Last month, for example, China's top court effectively granted consumers the right to sue Apple for alleged abuse of market power, which is a major setback for the company.
Yeah. LinkedIn have said its new strategy for China will be to focus on helping local professionals find jobs in the nation and Chinese companies to discover quality candidates. Later this year, the company said it will introduce InJobs, a new standalone jobs application for the country. The site won't include a social feed or the ability to share posts or articles. LinkedIn, which entered the Chinese market under the name LinkedIn, had been the only U.S. social media network allowed to operate in the country. In order to do that, it complied with the government's restrictions on certain kinds of content for users in China, and Microsoft, of course, bought LinkedIn back in 2016.
And Microsoft's several decades in China have been marked with challenges as well as some rare successes. The company maintains a large research lab in Beijing, sells cloud services through joint ventures with Chinese firms, and was the first to market a video game console in the country. Mm-hmm. Yet Microsoft has struggled to generate a significant amount of sales in China and has faced investigations by the government. The company has also been caught up in trade tensions between the US and China, including around partner Huawei. Now, of course, Google also abandoned plans in 2020 to offer a major new cloud service in China and other politically sensitive countries. The company stopped offering Search, Gmail, and the Chrome browser in mainland China years before that. And Facebook has allowed advertisers to target users in mainland China, but, of course, the company's social network app is banned there.
Yeah, I realized not too long ago, actually, that it was Google Chrome had been banned when I was trying to do some remote interviews. And one of the pieces of software that we use relies on Google Chrome.
Yes.
And a friend of mine was like, I can't access this. I can't, you know. And I'm like, well, why is this? And then I realized, oh, yes, it's Google Chrome, of course, causing us problems. Anyway, enough about Google Chrome. What we want to talk about is LinkedIn. And we're asking you, why do you primarily use LinkedIn for and why? You know, is it for networking? Is it for job hunting? Is it for, you know, insights and posts and articles? Or do you not use it at all? We do have somebody to speak to shortly. We have Khushbu Anagalia, the founder of global digital marketing consultancy company Beyond 99, and one of the top LinkedIn icons in Malaysia on the line. They'll be here in just a few moments to talk to us. Just want to quickly hit up a WhatsApp message we have from May, who messaged at 11 o'clock this morning. And she said, hi, Rich. Hi, Christine. It's May here. In the beginning, I used LinkedIn for mainly job hunting. But since the late 2019 until currently, I've been using it for networking with the right people for my business, mainly education and following companies or organizations relatable to what I do or aspire to be. I've managed to connect with the right people and attend really engaging webinars. Their algorithm is great. That's my two cents about LinkedIn for today. Happy Friday, guys.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you as well, May. Right. That question again, what do you mainly use LinkedIn for? Let us know. Take part in the poll. We're going to take a short break with Deep Purple and the woman from Tokyo. We'll be back shortly to hear from Khushbu here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Business, football, music. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Christine Wong.
It is Friday, the 22nd of October, 2021, 12:17, coming up to 12:18 here in the studio. That sunshine is still holding out for us on this Friday afternoon. Now, we are asking you about LinkedIn, and we're talking about LinkedIn because they're shuttering a localized version of their professional networking platform in China, becoming the last major US social media provider to pull out of the country and marking the demise of a rare US tech success there. We've been asking you, what do you primarily use LinkedIn for and why? The numbers over on Twitter so far, 39.6% of you saying it's for job hunting, 30.9% of you saying, no, don't use it, 14.8% of you saying for networking, and another 14.8% of you saying it's for insights, posts and articles. Alvin Lam has said, Facebook is like the kids' meal, and LinkedIn is the main menu when it comes to social media of that category. But I don't conduct business on either, so I can't comment on the usability and effectiveness of both. How do you know that one's the kids' meal and one is the main menu then, Alvin?
I don't know that I use Facebook and LinkedIn for the same purpose.
No, I don't either. Facebook is... Yeah, I'm going to sound old, but Facebook is for, like, my friends, you know. And LinkedIn.
What, do you mean a social networking site is so that you can be social?
Right. And LinkedIn is for the professional side of Richard Bradbury.
If we're going to go with the food analogy, LinkedIn is a salad to me.
Oh.
You know, like, yeah, I occasionally dip into it. Yeah. It's supposed to be good for me.
Bit of a Caesar salad, perhaps, every now and again.
I like salad.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Now, let us know what you think. What about over on Instagram? Anything over there, Chris?
Unfortunately, no. We do have an open-ended question for you guys to answer, so do hop on over.
Now, you guys are all quiet over there on Instagram.
It's Friday.
Start getting involved, will you? Now, okay, we've got somebody on the line that we want to speak to. We have Khushbu Nangalia, the founder of global digital marketing and consultancy company Beyond 99 and one of the top LinkedIn icons in Malaysia. And she's here. And we want to get your thoughts, Khushbu. What does this piece of news from China mean to us in Malaysia, I guess, and the rest of the world? Or does it really not make any difference at all?
First of all, looking at the situation and looking at the decision which LinkedIn made, in their words, which they say that they are facing operational difficulties to continue the platform for any longer in China, it clearly states that it is the regulation which is making it pretty challenging for the Microsoft-owned business to go further. And if we look at the impact today, LinkedIn was among the top five social media networking websites used in China. Not to say there are other platforms, there are definitely, but it was widely used. The impact which is going to happen, where we see about 54 million Chinese on the platform. Now, there are two fold to this question, where the first fold is focusing on Malaysia and the second fold towards the world. So let's take the world part first. In terms of the world, I guess there's going to be a good impact, because people have been trying to connect, network with China, which has become closely very difficult to go further with, because that was the only left social media platform which was US owned, because Facebook, Twitter, Google, and all of these has already been have lost its presence in China long back. So for global audiences to tap into the China market and to understand the culture, this was one of the best platforms to go with, knowing that there was little language barrier as well. And moving down the lane, we are expecting that people will find solutions. There is so many startups and so many technology firms which are also looking at this gap. And soon we will be seeing some solution coming forward. On the Malaysia side of it, I would say there's a partial impact, because we have approximately 5 million Malaysians on LinkedIn as a user. Now, a large portion of that may not be super active as well. And noticing that LinkedIn not being one of the primary platforms for Malaysians as yet, it is definitely not a very huge impact, because they have always been more towards using WeChat or any other alternative platforms to go further with. So I guess the impact will be there but for a very small sized population, and not for the larger piece of audience, because in Malaysia we see the usage of WeChat way more among the Chinese than as compared to LinkedIn. And thus, moving down the lane, they will just not get into adapting LinkedIn with the idea of tapping into China market, but instead with an idea of tapping into the global market. So globally, yes, for Malaysians, I don't think the impact would be pretty huge.
Hmm. And in the course of the pandemic, have people shifted to networking online via sites like LinkedIn? How do they use the platform to help further business or work needs?
Definitely a big yes, because people are locked down in their four walls and they want to fly out. And one of the best ways to do that is social media platforms, where LinkedIn has given them an opportunity, which is absolutely a great alternative of networking in person and meeting out to the people alongside knowing people before even starting to speak with them has ended up saving their time, which has created a mindset shift, because it saves time, energy, effort, and also we have that peculiar feeling of awkwardness, especially for introverts or people who are not comfortable talking with people in large groups. These websites have given them an opportunity to go all out and talk to people and exchange their wisdom, because they've started using to speak to one people or one person at a time. And from there, they are building their network. And you would be surprised that we have seen a great lot of activities increase on LinkedIn. The content creation percentage have gone up. The amount of people, or the number of people who were there on the platform previously as compared to right now, has gone up just over a year time. And the active user count is also increased to a great extent, because it was the I think, emptiness, which made people shift to a whole new space because now they don't have people to prospect, because they don't have space to network, and they lack human connection. So it's social distancing. It's not distancing from people at the end of the day. So definitely pandemic has seen a great shift among the people's mindset to go all out and use platforms like LinkedIn to further develop, grow, and expand their businesses, not only within the country, but also globally for the ones which is quite virtual. So just to state some of the examples, working with professionals, working with SME owners, coaches, keynote speakers, they have got opportunities globally from other APAC countries. I've seen closing deals in South Africa, closing deal in Egypt just other day with one of my students. So this is how the entire market is transforming, where earlier they had no opportunity to do this because at the end of the day, their networks were limited to local networks. So I think it's a great blessing in disguise for people who had never exposed their virtue, their value outside of the country, are now able to do that. So I think the shift has been great and the value is being seen to a great extent as well.
Thanks, Kashbuk. Can you just stay on the line? We've got a couple more questions that we want to ask you in just a couple of minutes, but we need to take a short break. We are asking you folks at home, what do you primarily use LinkedIn for and why? The options are networking, job hunting, insights, posts and articles, or you don't use it. Let us know what you think over on Twitter at BFM Radio. Same question posed over on Instagram. And of course, if you want to get in touch via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Time for some music from Chaka Khan. Our love's in danger. We'll be back in just a few moments here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It is Friday, the 22nd of October, 2021, 12:32 here in the studio. I am Rich Bradbury.
And I am Christine Wong. I don't know why you said it like that.
Because it's Friday, Christine. It's Friday.
Uh-huh.
Right. We are talking to you about LinkedIn and how they are shuttering a localized version of their professional networking platform in China. They're becoming the last major US social media provider to pull out of the country and marking the demise of a rare US tech success there. We're asking you, how do you use LinkedIn? Or primarily use it? Is it for networking? Is it for job hunting? Is it for the insights, the posts, the articles, or don't you use it? 40% of you for job hunting. 30.7% of you don't use it. 14.7% of you use it for networking, and 14.7% of you use it for insights, posts, and articles. Anything changed over on Instagram, Chris?
Absolutely nothing has changed.
Right, let's go back to Kushbu then, who's been sat patiently on the phone line waiting for us. Kushbu said, let me just ask you this then. How will this move impact individuals, organizations, and businesses over in China? Will it in any way hamper their ability to do business, network, or connect?
54 million Chinese were using LinkedIn. So definitely there is going to be some impact which will be created. We've noticed that the people who are from the millennial space would be experiencing more impact for particular reasons like networking with a global audience, networking with the teams based out of other countries, networking to know the culture of other countries on a professional level. And we see that gap will definitely get created to go out of the geographical restrictions from China to any other part of the world. And this is something which we don't see to be fulfilled in any time sooner. So talking about information exchange, network exchange, socializing is going to be a huge gap once LinkedIn stops their services in China. But at the same time, because LinkedIn says that their primary source or the main use of the platform has been towards the job side of it and not too much on the social aspect, which clearly states that the gap would be in the jobs market more than towards the socializing side. Thus, their new platform, which is coming up, which is InJobs. So LinkedIn is going to launch InJobs in China, which is going to help people to get jobs and get hired within Chinese-based professionals to find job and companies finding quality candidates as well. So it will be a match of two needs on the platform. And thus, a large part of the audience who were using LinkedIn to find jobs will not find this gap more than 3 months, because LinkedIn plans to launch it earlier next year. Thus, if we look at it, a small group of people who have been using LinkedIn for networking will not find any more opportunities to do that. But at the same time, locally, to say, China already has platform like Maimai, which already is twice as large as LinkedIn in China, which now gives them open market to go all out and engage. And it's also very extensively used there. So the gap may not be too long felt for the large group of audience there. Also, while I was speaking to some of them, some said, yes, I would be missing this. But quite a few of them said that I was not using LinkedIn for networking purposes. So I'm pretty much okay with the whole concept. And I think personally for myself, LinkedIn taking this step right now is one of the best things they have done and not delayed it any further, because moving down the lane, we see that acquisition for active audience on LinkedIn to not go anywhere but rise by every passing month. And once that would have happened, which expected to be in the next 1 year, this change would have had a huge impact on the audiences, because this pandemic is transforming people. And now that the pandemic is becoming endemic, we are seeing people adapting to the digital transformation much more comfortably than what they were doing during the late last year. So the increase of the active audience is expected to happen a lot over 2022. And then this announcement would change a lot of stories. So as of now, the ability to do business with the global audience for the local Chinese is definitely impacted, and vice versa. We're expecting LinkedIn to launch something, because I did read that the LinkedIn engineering team mentioning to help create economic opportunities for working with Chinese businesses. So what are they going to do? Yet to be known. But if I look at it, it'll be great if they do have a feature where there is a possibility for people to have engagement with global audience when it comes to trading and when it comes to business communications, but not really towards the social aspect. So let's see what they do. And we're excited about it to see the next move of LinkedIn, how they tap into the China market and probably connect them to the global audience as well, moving down the lane.
All right, we're going to have to take another short break here, Kashbu, but we do have a quick message from Eugene, who says, I don't use it anymore. I used to use it for networking, however. Maybe it's just me, but the few people I've linked there are quite pretentious. Just saying. I think there can be a few of those on there, Eugene, not denying that. We are going to take a break, though, with some music from Talking Heads with Wild Wild Life. We'll be back in just a few moments. Don't forget, we are asking you, what do you primarily use LinkedIn for? Let us know over on Twitter. We'll be back on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Before Friday materializes, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
We're going to be with you for a few more minutes yet, but we should probably crack along because we've still got some questions for Kushboo in a minute. We've been speaking about LinkedIn and what do you primarily use it for and why. The numbers haven't really changed, so I'll just remind you that they're shuttering a localized version of its professional networking platform in China, becoming the last major US social media provider to pull out of the country and making marketing the demise of a rare US tech success there. Chris, do you want to pick up?
Yes, so thanks for staying on the line with us, Kushboo. Now, in the Asia-Pacific region, do you know where LinkedIn is especially popular?
India, specifically. India has approximately 78 million plus population active on LinkedIn. And in that, there's a large group of people who are super active on the platform, creating content, connecting with people, and updating their profile quite consistently. Thus, India being also the second largest country in the world to go and have LinkedIn usage. So number one is US, and number three is China, the topic that we are right now on. China has more than 50 million just following to India. So definitely LinkedIn as a platform will lose a large group of the audience. But at the same time, if that comes with operational difficulties, it's a win-win for them because they would lose the networking but not the jobs part, which is where the maximum usage is happening. After India and China, we know it's Pakistan with about 7 million population only. And then we come down to Malaysia, which has about 5 million. So these are not like super highly used in terms of audience acquisition. But at the same time, we see a growth in the active audience on LinkedIn in the APAC region over the last 1 year. So we do know that the popularity of the platform is increasing and the need for the platform is also increasing. And over the period of time, people will be able to take this as one of their top social platforms for professional networking instead of using others moving down the lane. So that would be my take on popularity.
And do Malaysians generally use LinkedIn to connect with people in China, to your knowledge? And what other means can people consider now that, you know, LinkedIn might not be an option?
Working with more than approximately 1,000 Malaysians over the last few months to empower them to pick up LinkedIn as one of their platforms, I've not seen more than 2-3% of them using it for connecting to people in China. Because back in their mind, they have platforms like WeChat, they have other platforms to be able to connect with people back there. So LinkedIn, instead, up in their mind, is more of a platform to connect with global audiences back in US, UK, Australia, even with Indonesia, Vietnam, Singapore, India, all of this country. So the perspective of LinkedIn for specifically Malaysian is to open doors in the abroad market instead of China market for a huge, huge, huge population. Thus, I don't see Malaysians using too much of LinkedIn for connecting with people in China. And they just use it through other platforms out there.
And final question for you, Kushboo. Is it a loss to China not to have LinkedIn and all its features?
Definitely a big, big loss for people in China. We understand about 50 million plus are there. And this was their only opportunity to be able to connect with global audience because knowing no other social media platforms have access to China except this. And now this would also not have moving down the lane. So people who were using to connect with other businesses, enterprises, other segments and other countries was going to stop immediately. And they would have no more access to that. And today we do not have any alternative in China for the similar reason. Though Chinese were using LinkedIn for job purposes, and soon that gap will be filled by LinkedIn themselves. So that's not big of a concern, but definitely communications, partnerships, collaboration with global market will stand to cease almost immediately, and Chinese is going to miss LinkedIn features for sure, but not a very large group.
Thank you very much for all of your time. Thank you, Kushbu. That was Kushbu Nangalia, the founder of global digital marketing and consultancy company Beyond 99 and one of the top LinkedIn icons in Malaysia. We were talking about what do you primarily use LinkedIn for and why. The final numbers then, 40% of you for job hunting, 31% of you for saying, I don't use it, and 15% of you both saying networking and for insights, posts and articles. That's pretty clear there. 31% of you, you know, even though Eugene said that there might be some people who are a bit, what was the word he used?
Pretentious,
Pretentious,
was
yes. Not everybody on there is pretentious, and it is a very useful vehicle for people who want to network and who are, in fact, job hunting. You don't have to have one of those professional accounts or gold account or platinum account or whatever it is. Get yourself registered on there, put your resume up, and you never know what might come your way, especially during these times. Anyway, it's pretty much time for myself and Christine to wrap up for today. But we will remind you, of course, that Enterprise Biz Bytes will be back same time, same place next week. Frida and Audrey will be here in the studio covering for us. But don't forget, coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. With over 150 years of history together, how has the global pandemic changed the relationship between the UK and Malaysia? His Excellency Charles Hay, the UK High Commissioner to Malaysia, returned to the Breakfast Grill this morning to discuss the bilateral relationship, economic cooperation, and the upcoming UN Climate Summit, COP26, that's due to happen over in Glasgow. Chris, anything you want to say before we wrap up?
Have a happy weekend, everyone.
Have a happy weekend, everyone. Take us into the break. A little bit of Queen and David Bowie with Under Pressure here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.